We knew the economy was going to turn at some point, but you never really can be prepared for timing or speed of change.
I hope this cycle we're in doesn't take us back to the days of regulatory purgatory, where everything we did had consequences.
As the world continues to change, we have found out we need to be even more nimble as we move forward.
By requiring things like business continuity planning and pandemic plans, we need to think proactively about what we need to do in the future.
We better grab our helmets and start getting prepared today.
Banking is a risk business, but in today's environment, we are being faced with uncertain times. Financial institutions have always had partners who could help evaluate, address, and mitigate risk, but today they need to lean on those partners more than ever. Welcome to Bank on Whitfleet. Each episode will feature discussions around industry issues, hot topics, and current trends, giving you an insider's look at how top performers and professionals are staying ahead of the curve. All right, let's get into today's conversation.
Welcome, everyone. Today's guest is Barbara Lau, a leader in the talent management team here at Whitfleet. She's a recognized leader in financial services, human capital, and is with us today to talk about the challenges facing financial institutions surrounding talent retention. We know that retention is a key topic for leadership. We also understand that attraction of talent will probably have to be another podcast in and of itself. We're excited to talk with Barbara about some of the most significant trends in talent management facing our leadership teams today. We know from our podcast listeners that these challenges are weighing heavily on the industry. Let's start. Barbara, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
Would you provide our listeners some information about you, your background, and your role here at Whitfleet?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, I have over 25 years of experience both in human resources as well as consulting, but I've also worked, frankly, in the banking industry where I created and managed a corporate university for a Chicago financial institution. So I can really understand, some of the challenges that our financial institution clients are facing. My undergrad is in business administration and finance, and my graduate degree is in management and organizational behavior. So my passion is truly developing leaders and creating plans for talent management. I love helping people and organizations be successful.
Thank you. Great background, and certainly helps our listeners understand what you bring to today's conversation. Why don't we start with this? Can you tell me, in your experience in working with clients, what is top of mind right now about the conversation we're having?
What's top of mind for every client that I've been speaking with lately is the incredibly challenging times that we're going through right now. And so think about it. We're living through an unprecedented time in history and in most of our lifetimes. We've never experienced anything like a pandemic, and then all of the shifts that stem from it. So from a people standpoint, it has been a significant disruptor. In fact, it's really been a game changer for most organizations. Because of this, we are having conversations with clients now regarding solutions to retain their talent. And we're assisting them with implementation of some of these solutions. This really is top of mind. It really is all about, how we batten down the hatches, if you will, and keep our good people from leaving the organization and going to a competitor.
Great. Well, thank you for that. Let's start with really, what's the foundation of today's challenges in talent retention, Barbara? Why are we facing this difficult labor market?
We see a lot about the labor market on the news and in the evening. We see it in our emails all the time, but there are a couple of things that are really precipitating this issue. First of all, it is a very challenging labor market because the working age population in this country is at an all-time historical low. And in fact, we reached our lowest point in 2019, and it's slowly starting to rise since then. But it's important that our financial institution clients are aware of the trend and that they know that this trend is going to continue for about 10 more years before we start pulling out of this. And second, it's no secret that the impact of COVID on individuals is very wide-reaching. It has caused people to rethink their jobs and their workplaces. In fact, it appears that at this point in time, about half of our employees, half of our workers are actually pursuing other job opportunities that better fit their needs and their expectations, whatever that might be. And so these dynamics do have a significant impact on how our clients position themselves, frankly, to do more with less and then to retain their current talent.
Well, it certainly is a long period of time, a decade, to really consider what we're doing right now, Barbara. Thank you for providing kind of that background and foundation. So what practices are critical for a financial institution to retain the talent it currently has?
First of all, clients should really assess the current state of their workforce to determine where they're experiencing the greatest turnover. To my earlier comment about battening down the hatches, it's important to evaluate the reason for the turnover. Why are people leaving? And it would be important now to implement an exit interview process if one already isn't in place, because this is a great source of information. So when employees voluntarily leave, we have the ability to gain information about why they are choosing a different employer, what are the reasons behind their departures, to better get an understanding of what we could have done and can do in the future to keep people on board. And then secondly, it's imperative to understand the factors that are most important to all of our employees across the financial institution. And so this can be accomplished through an employee engagement survey. And once the data is compiled, then a plan can be developed and implemented to address the outcomes of the survey. This is really an important step in this process because, think about it, employees have spent the time to pour out their hearts and souls to tell the employer what can be done better, what their needs are, and it behooves the employer to then provide them with feedback on what they've learned and what they're going to change as a result of that. And this goes a long ways in developing higher morale and in developing an understanding of what employees are really asking for in the workplace. And then a couple of other things to consider. Some additional initiatives might be conducting stay interviews. This is a process that a lot of our clients are thinking about doing right now and are currently implementing. And of course, we shouldn't overlook compensation and our competitiveness in the market. And then also consider becoming and working toward being an employer of choice, which means you have a reputation in the community of being a great place to work.
It sounds like it requires a lot of self-evaluation from leadership, Barbara, on how they have approached things in the past. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. It is looking at where we are today. What are the dynamics that we have in our workforce? And so think about this as well. You know, as employees leave, what happens is the work gets redistributed to the employees that exist. And in today's market, some of these positions are not being backfilled simply because it takes a longer time to recruit people, or we may not be able to find an appropriate person for the backfill position. And so our current employees are getting burned out and frustrated because they're not acknowledged and in some cases compensated for the additional work that they're doing. All of this really plays in very importantly to the whole idea of retention and the employee experience and overall job satisfaction. So there are so many dimensions that are involved that employers need to, you know, go from a high level view and look at what's going on in their financial institution.
You know, in preparing for the podcast, I know you also mentioned that culture is a significant contributor and kind of stems from this conversation. Why is culture now so critical?
One of the reasons that employees often cite for changing employers is the importance of seeking a culture that matches their needs. And what that may mean to one person could be different to another. But the typical kinds of things that we're seeing employees looking for these days is flexible work hours or the opportunity to work remote if that's something that's important to them. Also, a sense of belonging and the feeling that they're valued not only by their supervisors, but also the organization overall. And so many employees are seeking opportunities for development and advancement. And of course, competitive pay is important, but it's not necessarily a primary driver for most people. And so this idea of culture may seem nebulous to some, but we recognize a positive culture when we experience it. For most individuals, it's often defined as an environment of support and collaboration where people have the passion for the work they do. And of course, inspirational leadership is the icing on the cake. And so interestingly, I discussed this topic recently at a banking conference where we discussed the employee experience. And I asked the participants how they define positive culture. And it was fascinating to me because the responses were a wide range of dimensions for various participants. Some of them said developing employees creates a positive culture because then they know that the employer is invested in them. But another response was, I like an environment where I hear people laugh. And I really like that response because I think we all need a culture where there's some levity. We work hard, but we enjoy what we're doing.
I think that's probably great advice. I have not heard that culture where you laugh. And, you know, it seems like in the past 24 months, Barbara, laughter at work is something that has been severely lacking. So love that comment.
Yeah, you know, levity in the workplace goes a long way, and it does speak to the culture. And I think we feel it when we walk into an organization. Everything from our first experience with the receptionist or the first person that greets us, whether it is the teller on the line and whether they have a smile on their face and they seem pleased to see us or they appreciate our business, all of those things tie very importantly into culture.
I couldn't agree more. You can feel it tangibly as a customer, and that radiates out from the employee's experience. So I think that's an important insight you just provided, is just having a little fun at work. You know, I know also when we prepared for this podcast, you said that a key element that leadership has to think about is succession planning. And so often we think of succession planning really at the highest level, that C-suite level. Do you think it now has to extend beyond the C-suite, Barbara? And if so, what are the differences in those planning methods?
Well, succession planning certainly originated in the C-suite, but today it may expand beyond the top levels of the organization. And that can vary from organization to organization. But at minimum, clients should be creating a succession plan for the top 2 to 3 levels in the organization to determine the number of viable candidates they have in the feeder group. And it's interesting because until we actually sit down and put names in slots, we don't even think about where our successors are in the organization. So it's also imperative, though, to consider other positions and people that might be difficult to replace. And it could have something to do with the nature of the work that they do, or the institutional knowledge that they possess, or any other number of significant factors. So if these individuals walked out the door, they would likely leave a gaping hole that would be difficult to fill. And so if we use this definition, it becomes easy to determine who these individuals are in the organization. So go down a couple of levels in the organization and then also look at key individuals, high potential, high performing individuals, and others who have a unique purview or a unique job, regardless of what their job title is. And then the final element of succession planning is determining each successor's level of readiness for their next promotional opportunity, and then creating their individual development plan or a career blueprint for each individual based on the competencies for the job that they aspire to. So that would be my recommendation.
Yeah, it sounds like we need the same methodologies and planning that we've applied to maybe credit or financial aspects or investment aspects of the financial institution, and consider talent and that part of capital, I guess you would say, very carefully in the next decade. Am I correct in what I'm hearing?
Absolutely. You know, what's interesting is as I'm working with more and more financial institutions on succession planning, what we've discovered is even when an organization believes they have a plan in place, and especially with some of our smaller organizations, it might be a chief lending officer could be the successor to the CEO. And then circumstances happen, and that person may become ill, or, you know, there could be any number of circumstances. And then we have this gaping hole to fill and may not have another individual prepared. And so the deeper we go into the organization, the better prepared we will be for circumstances that we can't anticipate. And that's another important part of this process.
Sure. You used a term, is it feeder group or feeder?
Right. Feeder group. Feeder. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think that's an important term for us to remember today, is really looking at that feeder group, and probably something that maybe smaller institutions haven't thought about before.
Well, and you know, what's interesting is that we've completed succession plans for very large organizations. And then I've completed them for organizations that only had four key leaders. And two of them were determined to be outside hires because there absolutely wasn't anyone in the pipeline. But then once we got to that point, we started drilling deeper into the organization to see where we had some high potential performers that maybe 5 years out could be a successor. And so those were brought into the plan. So regardless of our size, this is an important process.
Fantastic. Fantastic. You know, I think this dovetails in nicely to the conversation we had earlier about employee development. What has changed in employee development, Barbara? What are some common practices you're seeing that maybe provide the best return on investment in employee development?
Interestingly, in today's market, employee development has gone to the top of the list of priorities for most organizations because it's an incredible retention tool, okay? So employees are motivated by their employer's willingness to invest in them. And development opens the door also for continuing conversations with supervisors and employees about their future. And so if an employee has a clear vision of the possibilities for their future, they won't be looking elsewhere if they know that what they're looking for can be fulfilled with their current employer. So I view development opportunities from several vantage points. The first would be developing leaders being critical to the success of our financial institution clients. And so for these professionals, we're developing individual career blueprints that incorporate competency development, as well as a leadership assessment to measure their strength on these various competencies, and then creating development opportunities. And when I say development opportunities, it could be everything from at the executive level, for example, mentoring from the CEO, or having access to the board, or perhaps a formalized executive leadership program, among other things. But also at other levels in the organization, it could include creating a leadership institute within the financial institution that incorporates some core curricula for all of the leaders at all levels of the organization, and including courses that are really critical for today's success, such as emotional intelligence and collaboration and conflict resolution or employee development, just to name a few. And then finally, establishing formal career paths at all levels of the organization goes a long way in developing our employees, but also providing a vision for employees to see their future. So I see all of these elements as worthwhile investments.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, just having that knowledge or understanding from the leadership team that we have to maybe change things, do things differently, have a different approach than maybe traditional institutions have had, will go a long way in that talent retention. What a pleasure having you as a guest today and a phenomenal conversation, Barbara. We appreciate you being here and sharing your expertise. Any final thoughts or closing items for our listeners?
I would just say now more than ever, it's important to take a view of your organization and understand what motivates employees to stay, as well as what might motivate them to go. And it, you know, perhaps that conversation is a one-on-one conversation and simply asking, you know, what do you enjoy about your job and what keeps you here and what might tempt you to leave? And what can I, as a leader in this organization, do to make sure that you stay with us long time? Because we value you as an employee. Words are powerful. And so now's the time to put it out there.
Excellent. Well, Barbara, thank you again.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, as always, thank you for allowing us to share some ideas with you. Please reach out with any questions or comments. We look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in to our next podcast. Thank you again, everyone, for joining in this conversation about talent retention. We know that there is a true labor market challenge facing financial institutions today, and looking over the long term, our team feels that it's probably going to be about a decade of this type of challenge we're going to face. There are elements that contribute to your ability to retain talent. We discussed some of those today. Important elements are employee development, succession planning, and culture. We hope today's conversation gave you some ideas and some food for thought as you face the labor market challenges at your own institution.
You've been listening to Bank on Witfully. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and tune into the next episode as we feature insights from other leaders in the financial industry and even more ways you can stay ahead of the curve.